Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Beauty Talk here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Janice Tanell, and tonight we are joined by none other than celebrity makeup artist Orlando Santiago. Welcome to the show, Orlando.
Hi, thank you guys. Welcome.
Before we get into the interview with Orlando, I just want you all to know that the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. Give us a call if you have a question for Orlando, if you have a comment. Also join us in the chat room where my sister Denise is heading that up, and she has some beauty news for us. I just wanted to give out a few dates for the makeup trade shows coming this year, 2011. I'll start with the makeup show. That's presented by Metropolitan Pavilion. We have in L.A., February 26th through 27th, New York City, May 15th through 16th, Chicago, June 12th through 13th, Berlin, September 17th through 18th. And the Chicago and Berlin shows are brand-new shows, so we're excited about those. And the makeup show is sponsored by Makeup Forever, Temp 2 Pro, Stila, Crown Brush, The Powder Group, On Makeup Magazine, and OCC Cosmetics. IMATS 2011, presented by the Makeup Artist Magazine. They have a show coming this month in London, January 29th through 30th, New York, April 9th through the 10th, Los Angeles, June 24th through the 26th, Vancouver, July 23rd through the 24th, and Sydney and Toronto, there are no dates for those shows yet, but Sydney's in September, Toronto in November. And just wanted to let everyone know, we're going to confuse you guys one more time. The next three shows will be on Tuesday night instead of Thursday night due to Janice's work schedule. She had to mix it up for us so early in the new year, but the show will be on Tuesday night. For the next three weeks. And, again, it will be at 9 p.m. You can reach the same place, just different day, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., Blog Talk Radio. Episode 5 of Beauty Talk, the web series, is coming on Monday, and there's still time to enter our giveaway for Episode 4. Just go out, watch the episode, and leave your comment. That's youtube.com/illusionscosmetics. Again, that's Beauty Talk, the web series. We have a great giveaway for episode 4, so please leave your comments. So we'll give away a great lash package for that particular episode. And so again, episode 5 is coming on Monday. And for those of you who express interest in having a union conference call, for anybody who's interested in having any of their questions answered about how to join the hair and makeup union and any questions related to that whole process, just send us your information, your email address, your name, first and last name, your email address, and a telephone number. You can email it to illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. Right now, we're only going to have a max of 6 people per conference call. So if you don't make this particular conference call, I will do it again. And we have 2 spaces left for the first conference call. So get your names and information into me as soon as you possibly can. And that's it.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's get right into the conversation with Orlando. Orlando, why don't you tell our listening audience when you became a makeup artist and how you got involved in the beauty industry? What inspired you to become a makeup artist?
Well, honestly, makeup is basically the career that chose me. I didn't really choose it. I was actually, going to school for pre-med and down in Florida, before coming back to New York. And that was my career of choice and at the time. And I was actually just working like little side jobs as I was going to school doing pre-med. And being in Florida, I mean, it was just one of those things where I just wanted an indoor job after having, work outside and working outside and stuff like that. So what I wanted to do was just look for an indoor job. I actually just ended up going to, a Dillard's and, just started applying there because it was all AC in there, really. And I got a job in there. My first job was a cosmetics and fragrance manager. And obviously, cosmetics and fragrance kind of join, share the same department. So
right.
One of my friends came over and said, hey, listen, we have an opening for a spot for a regional makeup artist at Dior. And I was like, I don't really do makeup. I have no idea. And he was like, well, we can teach you, so on and so forth. So that's pretty much how I got involved in that. And I started assisting him and I became a regional within 5 months of shadowing him, and then it just kind of excelled from there, and I just fell in love with it. And soon after that, decided to no longer be with pre-med and then kind of come back to my home base, which is New York, to pursue my career in makeup.
You wanted to get in the inside where there was some AC.
Yeah. I mean, I was working in Orlando. I was going to school at UCF at the time in Valencia. And, there's not a lot of jobs. Well, at the time, there weren't a lot of jobs that were indoor except for mall jobs. And I was like, I don't care. I was a lifeguard. I was a lot of things as a kid, going to school.
Right.
And any little job counted as long as, you're getting through college, And pre-med was pretty expensive. So I just needed an indoor job. And, lo and behold, I ended up getting a job inside a cosmetics and fragrance department, which then kind of, like I said, opened up a door. Befriended a few people, and then they just thought I'd fit the part, which I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, it was really nerve-wracking, but so it kind of discovered me, They asked me if I would be willing to try it, and I said sure, and that's it. It's been about almost 13 years.
Oh, wow, almost 13 years.
Yeah.
That's funny because I think it kind of happened the same way for my sister and I. We both were accountants. I was a tax accountant. She was working in accounting also, and it's not like we ever thought about having a career. We were always interested
right.
in makeup, skincare, the beauty industry, but never thought about it as a career. And so I guess the same thing, it kind of found us. So
yes.
You haven't looked back at all, not once.
Exactly.
No regrets. So now you have an indoor job, which can sometimes be on the outside.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, now it's crazy because now it's, traveling is so much and there's a lot that's involved with makeup and where I do makeup, So now it's usually everywhere. Now it could be from a job that's outdoor for, beauty or campaign or something to like an indoor studio just shooting an editorial for a magazine. So it's kind of, now it's all over, But it's a
right.
whole different scenario. It's still all makeup, though.
Right, exactly, and it's all good.
It's all good, yep.
What inspires you, while you're working, what inspires you to create?
well, honestly, I'm inspired by quite a bit. I mean, I don't necessarily look for inspiration right away. It kind of just jumps at me. But I will tell you that I enjoy being inspired by color. I'm very visual. I love color. I think since I was a kid, I've always had that artistic eye, and I just loved colors and textures. Again, I didn't know it could be used in makeup till later on, but I've always enjoyed color and texture and so on and so forth. But since I've become a makeup artist, I would say I'm also inspired by just a beautiful woman. At any age, doesn't matter. But I just love knowing that the woman looks at her best. She looks her best. She looks and feels good about how she looks and is very confident about it. So that's inspiring to me, like knowing that, you know, after an application that, you know, I've done a makeup on or something, and she's able to just get that confidence back and just go out there and kind of just know that she looks really good and feels good, and it can take over the world. You know what I mean? It's good to know that I had a part in that, and knowing that now she feels very confident and she can go out there and just conquer the world. So
let me ask you, because you said you started out when you went to the department store and they were training you and you were shadowing your friends.
Mm-hmm.
How hard was it to just get it and to feel comfortable with working with women when they come up to the counter, trying to help them feel their best and look their best? How hard was it being that, you know, you never had an interest in it, or you never thought of a career,
right,
as a makeup artist, and, you know, here you are, you know, training under a friend who's just teaching you how to do this. Was it hard at all?
Yeah.
Convincing, or?
I would definitely say it was a little bit challenging. It was a little challenging because, like I said, I didn't even know really and understand the dynamics of makeup. And then on top of that, to know and understand that women had issues that they wanted to use makeup for. So there were two different planes and two different understandings. I had no idea. So, yeah, it was hard. And also dealing, you know, learning from just learning makeup to learning how to assess each woman after each application was also very tough. But I tell you, it was probably the best the training that I could have I've ever had. I mean, dealing with regular women, real women, and also just learning how to quickly adapt to what they want to see or feel. Yeah, it was really tough. I mean, I had to understand what I was doing first, and that took a while to then learn how, okay, now this is what we're doing and why we're doing it, but then now we're also doing it differently on each woman, you know, back to back to back, and for different reasons. So yeah, it was a lot to like soak in all at once, but I, you know, slowly started to catch on and understand, and it was definitely trial by fire. Like, it was like so fast, and you know, they needed to fill a gap of a regional trainer position, which means I was skipping like a counter position and going right into you know, quote unquote, an expert level, you know, right away. So
right.
It was kind of challenging, but it was good because it definitely forced me to basically soak it all up and understand it immediately, you know, and work with what I had and learn how to just quickly adapt and adjust. So, and it kind of set the precedent for everything else that came after, which was good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That was good training. You know, after you trained, you know, with your friend, what did you do about education, you know, after that counter experience?
Well, I had to realize that, number one, again, because it was something that found me, I had to go, once makeup found me, I guess I had to really explore what makeup was about. So I felt at that time that, you know, being originally from New York, from Brooklyn, I felt like coming back to New York was probably the best thing I could have done at that time for myself. And I knew that New York has always been fashion capital and so on and so forth. Or, you know, to my knowledge, I mean, from what little knowledge I did know about makeup at that time, I knew that coming back home, my friends and family were here, and so I had a lot of support over here as well. So I came back here, and I then found that there were other schools, and I found out that there was another world that was kind of customized to makeup. So it made it a lot better for me. It made it easier. Even though I didn't get a chance to actually go to a school, I never went to a makeup school for it, but I started understanding the assisting and all that was behind learning, you know, and assisting other artists and, you know what I mean? And just kind of working at like, for example, I ended up working at a MAC counter while I was going at FIT at the same time. So I started learning a lot through the programs of how, you know, MAC was teaching what they were teaching. And, you know, I realized that there was the rabbit hole was a lot deeper than that surface level, you know what I mean? So I realized
right.
that a lot of things were there for education that gave you the science and the anatomy behind and the structure behind what we were doing, not just like placing color all over the place, you know what I mean? So I realized through time that there was a lot to be learned and that there was so much more information out there for me.
And I listened to everything that you're saying, and I think about some artists who are out there now who want to be makeup artists and they're trying to work and they haven't taken any classes at all. But I'm listening to your story because, you know, you had the training in Florida. Like you said, you kind of skipped over the counter level and went to like a, you know, upper management type position, which probably put you in front of a lot of, you know, people and in front of a lot of things you wouldn't be, have been exposed to if you maybe were at the counter level. But you knew and understood that, okay, now since this has grabbed a hold of me, I have to figure out what this business is all about. You know, so, you know, you made the decision to go back to New York, which, you like you just said, the fashion capital of the world. You know, you're exposed to, you know, the beauty
yeah.
business, the fashion business,
yeah.
and all of that. So, you know, I think about makeup artists who are out there now who want to skip the step of education for, you know, for whatever the reason, and but they're not in an area where they can be exposed to all that you were exposed to in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just wonder, you know, how they have it all figured out. Like how do they expect to get what they need to move further in their career? If you know, if they don't take advantage of classes or
yeah.
You know, and they may not be in an area where they can assist someone who's really, you know, working a lot or what have you.
Well, I mean, if I can add to that, I mean, I'd say definitely I think, you know, again, education is around you, but you have to find it. I mean, going to the shows, going to, you know, if you have somebody to assist, great. If not, then you know what? Make it your business to, like, go online and research. And, like, you know, I mean, there's so much at our fingertips. I think that's probably one of the best things about becoming a makeup artist nowadays is that there's a lot of information, whether you had, you know, the internet is a powerful thing, you know. There's a lot of YouTube. Not that
mm-hmm.
everything on YouTube is accurate or whatever, but there are a lot of good things. And, you know, you can sift through the good things and the bad things. And there's a lot of tutorials out there. But there's also a lot of shows, you know, that you can fly yourself out to, which I think is great because it is a community, not a competition thing. You know, there's tons of makeup artists to network with and brain pick and, you know, at the makeup shows and at all these major events, there are so many demos and so many workshops, and I think it's worth the investment and the time to fly yourself out there. It's almost like a treat, but also it's, you know, done with a purpose, and you have education
Absolutely.
That you can see and absorb, and again, once you know it, you can't unknow it, so it's a technique that you have for life, and the more you see, the more you do, the more you absorb and adopt and adapt, the more equipped you are to go back into your neighborhoods and to your cities, whether small or big, and, you know, and realize that, you know, there's a lot that I can actually do. I don't have to be in the New York cities or the LAs or the Chicagos or the bigger cities to make it happen. If you want to move there, that's great. I mean, I would suggest, you know, definitely planning ahead before you do a move, but it's not always necessary. You know what I mean? You can go back into your cities and whether they're small or whatever and still be successful. Just because of the information that you have that we have here in New York as well. You know, we all it's all about just enriching yourself with information that makes you stronger as an artist.
Right, absolutely. And you just mentioned something that I was going to ask you about a little later. Is what do you think about all the makeup trade shows that's going on around the world actually now?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, believe a makeup artist can really benefit from attending?
Well, I think it's great now that it's becoming a global thing. I mean, I was actually there for the beginning of the makeup show, and I've actually, the makeup show and the iMatch are two separate things, but I've gone to both at two
right.
different times worldwide. So, and I've, again,
right.
you know, I've traveled on my own dime just to go there and absorb. Like, I've gone to the iMatch 2 years in a row. I think it was, was it 06 and 07, 2 years back to back, and I just wanted to go and see how European artists were doing a lot of the stuff that maybe we're on track with here, or maybe, you know, kind of missed the mark, or there's another technique. I mean, it was worth it, definitely, you know, and it's good because even if it's not in your market, it's good for you to go because you'll meet and see. Like, for example, if you go to the IMATS in London, you'll see a lot of European artists doing things slightly differently, you know. Which I think is great.
Right.
But also, like, now I'm excited that the makeup show is actually going to Germany, because, you know, it's amazing because now we get a chance to have, like, maybe possibly some German local artists teach other techniques that, you know, we probably would have never thought of. And again, it goes back to obtaining information. So I'm so excited that it's moving globally now, you know, and that we're moving in that direction, and that, you know, L.A., we're cornered that market. We have New York. Now we have Midwest, like in Chicago. We have a slice of Europe now with Germany. So I think it's amazing. I think it's just, you know, we were all connected through makeup anyway, but now I guess it's a chance of, like, the makeup show is this amazing bridge that takes people from here to, like, step over to Europe, and you have a lot of Europeans coming here. So it's that one common bond that we have now that exposes us to each other and different techniques that will just enrich us all, you know?
Right. Have you noticed any differences from the European makeup artists versus the makeup artists here in this country?
Sort of. I mean, depends. I mean, I see a lot of, like in Paris, you see a lot of perfection, which is great. Like with, I see a lot of perfection. Like everything is so, like, beautifully sculpted and perfected and refined. And, like, in London, I see a little bit more of, like, edgy and, like, a little more bolder, daring, you know, kind of ready to push the limits. And in the U.S., I mean, just based on my experiences, it depends what part of the U.S. I mean, again, I've seen, you know, it depends on where you go. Pretty much every state or every zone or region, I guess, has their own, you know, has their own flair as far as makeup is concerned, you know. I think definitely America's a little more on the safer side, you know, not as bold as the Europeans, I would say. But again, it depends. Bold is in the eye of the beholder, you know what I mean? So it's whatever you want to do. It's how bold you want to go. I think it's more about tailoring the look to whatever the occasion is. You know, if it's an editorial, great. If it's just a regular, you know, beauty, then great. You know, if it's cataloged, then great. I think it's just about appropriate for whatever's appropriate for the job.
Now, Orlando, let me ask you, and I think if I'm not mistaken, you've worked with two of my favorite airbrush companies, OCC and Ket.
I have.
Now, what was it like working with both of the companies, and what do you like about their products?
I like Ket because Ket was one of the original formulas that I've used, and I was very very keen on their pump, you know, their small compressor / pump that they have. I thought that was great. Sheila's amazing. I think she's great. I think Ket and the whole Ket movement is great. You know, again, I started with them, and I kind of, like, was introduced back then with Ket. And I think they're just always evolving, too, which is great. And their colors are really true, and I like the fact that a lot of them are, you know, water-based, but they're still, like, highly pigmented. But same thing with the OCC. I like the fact that they're also a newer company, and they're evolving like crazy as well, especially with the lip tars and a lot of other things that they're doing. But it's about the formulations. I think the formulations of those two companies have – I think they get it. That's all. I think they get it.
Right.
I think the colors are on point. And I feel like they just understand, you know, not to say that the others don't. I'm not saying that at all. But I just, you know, number one is that I've known these two people. I've known David from OCC for over a decade, and I've known Sheila for about the same. So it is kind of close to home when I see two of my friends at one point just kind of branch off and do their own things. Yes, it happens to be the same line, which is an airbrush line, but nonetheless, they get it. I think they're both really, you know, the products are ingenious, and the what they do and how they do it is kind of like they get it, and they're really keen on the HD movement, which is also really important. And I think that it's not just color for color and all that, but I think the formulations and the fact that everything is tested and tested under HD makes a huge difference. And I love working with the products.
Wait, let's talk about, since you mentioned it, let's talk about airbrushing for a little bit.
Sure.
Now, do you airbrush a lot?
I would say I airbrush quite a bit. I would say quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't. It's just another brush for me, but another brush that I use. But I like to integrate quite a bit. So, yeah, I would say I airbrush quite a bit.
What would you say were some important factors or some important things to remember with airbrushing now that HD is a big thing?
Not to overuse a product. I mean, I don't think it's meant to be a substitution for your old technique.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's meant to be integrated, but a lot of people forget that part. The integration with your old traditional style of makeup, you know, it's not an older way of doing it. It's actually still a traditional way, which is very important. So, but airbrush is a newer technique, and it's kind of like, you know, you can do a lot with a little bit. You know, I think just knowing that you don't need as much product as you think you do, and also training your eye, just training your eye to see what you're supposed to see versus, you know what I mean? Well, it's another way. It's another training of an eye for something that, you know, whatever the look is that you're going for. Learning how to be patient to see whatever product when it comes out, learning how to understand your gun. Like, you really have to be one with your actual, like, your airbrush gun to know, to troubleshoot it. But just by listening to it, you can know what's going on, what's wrong, why is it doing what it's doing. And I think, but that comes with time and experience. The more you do it, the more you'll understand what kind of problems you may run into. And also how to, like, I guess with airbrushing, you can kind of finish or get a quality of a finish that you may not be able to get with sometimes a traditional standard makeup. But it's knowing how to put the finishing touches on it, which, again, comes with time and practice and just trying to, like, mimic. And you have to make a lot of mistakes. I think that's what people think, that they get frightened and they put it down. And I'm like, no, it's actually, that's a good thing. The more mistakes you make, the more you know not to do them the next time, and you'll learn how to achieve that flawless technique without making errors, but you have to make, you know, quite a bit in the beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's necessary to take an airbrush class to learn airbrushing, or do you think any makeup artist can just go out there and pick up a compressor and a gun and start?
No. I mean, I do think it's an advanced technique. You know, I think it's an advanced technique. I think it's going to be super important to definitely have a professional or somebody who you work with, you know, to work with you on this particular product, you know, and this different technique, because it's not a traditional way of doing things. It really isn't. It's a whole nother dynamic. You know what I mean? So I would suggest, yeah, I mean, making the investment and taking a workshop, you know, with whoever, I mean, the CATs, the OCCs, you know, if you're into silicone base and, you know, again, that's, you know, and you learn, and that's the thing, you have to take one of the courses or even a workshop just to have an idea of what different types of mediums you want to work with because of what type of markets you're in. So all these things would be only because you've taken the courses, you know, you have your TEM2s out there, you know, there's a lot of different lines, but you would only know how to really do all the stuff and also how to troubleshoot only by going to one of the workshops.
Right, absolutely, and I have to agree with you about CAT and OTC. Those are the two companies that I pretty much use. I just love their, you know, I love their products, and you're right, they get it.
Yeah.
And I've just started playing around with TEM2 a little more. Like, I have compressors from TEM2, but I just started playing around a little bit more with their actual products, you know, when I'm doing, like, a lot of tattoo work.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I kind of use them a lot for, but when it comes to the face, I really love the CAT and OCC.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And neither CAT and OCC don't have any silicone-based mixing mediums, which sometimes, you know, you need just for that you know, not anything HD-wise, like under. Not that, you know, I guess TEM2 would definitely beg to differ. They'd say that it, you know, it actually is HD-ready under the camera. But I know that other lines would disagree slightly. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I mean, whatever the purpose is, for whatever reason you're doing it, I think it's amazing. I think silicone-based is amazing for bridal, which, by the way, I'll be doing if I can just kind of plug this in, LA show, I'll be doing speaking of airbrushing, I'll be doing an airbrush bridal at the show in LA this February 27th. So, I mean, I'll be teaching about that. And I think, again, going back to that, silicone is good because it gives you that beautiful shine. But, you know, when it comes to the skin, I don't need that much shine. You know, I'll just be able to do something like a water-based, like water-based from OCC or Ket would be fine. But then I can go back and pop maybe like a silicone-based cheek, you know, like a cheek color, really pretty rosy color on the highlight, which creates that natural shine, not all over the face. So it's like knowing when to put what, where, why, you know, can you really overlap it? So there's a lot of things that go into it, you know what I mean? But again, by going to one of the workshops and seeing a professional really do it and show you exactly what they're doing and why, I think that's when you really get it.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
Orlando, can you speak a little bit about your studio and the services that you provide? Is your airbrush class one of the services that you provide?
Yeah, airbrushing is definitely something I do. I do it with the makeup show quite a bit, but I also do it at my studio. I have a smaller studio in New York City, kind of like right in the heart of the theater, between the theater district and Rockefeller Center, like right there, like slightly two blocks away from where Fashion Week Bryant Park used to be. And I do a lot of workshops. Yeah, I do a lot of workshops. I'm on 45th Street between 5th and 6th. And I do a lot of workshops, all kinds. The studio is called Anaya Studios, A-N-A-Y-A. And I just recently opened it up with a partner. And it's tailored to artists. I mean, I'm very artist-friendly. It can be, you know, rented by the hour because a lot of artists never really have, especially in New York City, space is everything. And sometimes you have clients that you want to just meet, and you don't really want to go all the way up to them. They don't want to come to you. So there's a good, like, halfway point where you can use a studio to book your clients, to do consultations, so on and so forth. But I also do weekends, different events, different workshops for airbrushing as well. So, you know, whoever's interested, definitely, you know, while these major events and shows are not going on, this is a great in-between that, you know, if you don't want to wait so long for another show. You can definitely just call up the studio and book it. And, we have a lot of workshops on the weekends, particularly airbrush.
Now, tell me a little bit about some of the airbrush classes that you offer. What can students expect to learn? What types of classes?
well, basically what you do, we start from the very beginning. We start from the basics. You know, basically just, you know, a lot of the attendees who come have not been familiar with the brushes and have no idea what to do with compressor or, you know, learning PSI or anything. So we basically start from the very, very beginning. I talk about PSI, pounds per square inch, what it should be at in order to work comfortably on someone. We also talk about, just how to hold it properly, how to take it apart, clean it, troubleshoot it, after each application. We also talk about, we do exercises that will help us, even before we touch the face, we actually do exercises and techniques and shapes that actually help to kind of just get you familiar with your gun and the right pressure. You will make a lot of mistakes in the beginning. But it's okay because you actually learn quickly from them and you know what looks good immediately and what doesn't. And, again, we talk about the different mediums out there. We talk about, you know, how they work together, how they don't work together, color theory, covering tattoos, covering, you know, unwanted blemishes or anything like that, knowing where the airbrush should be used, around what parts of the face and on what parts of the face it shouldn't be used. Pretty much everything. I mean, as much as we can. And then we actually get into an application. I'll do a demo from beginning to end. And then what we do is we have basically a hands-on from that point on, where a lot of the students will start working on each other, and then I will be there to kind of assess their progress throughout the rest of the workshop.
Wow. And so do you ever get into airbrushing the body? In any of your classes?
That would be another class because this would be the basic, and
okay.
Then we'd have an advanced class where we do major highlighting, shadowing, sculpting the body, sculpting the face, learning how to bring out textures, a lot of color, like fashion, basically doing how to do fashion, how to do eyeshadows, you know, texture, shimmer, all that, with airbrush as well, patterns, stenciling. That would be like the advanced version of that. So we'd have a basic version and we'd have an advanced version. And then I do like a bridal version as well, which is actually what I'll be doing at the makeup show in February. You know, very similar to that. We'll talk about like how to work that so it looks very like youthful yet ethereal and gorgeous. And then, yeah, so pretty much those, those are different workshops that would be available. You know, not everybody has to be a novice. You can be, you know, you could be familiar with the airbrush machine and the system, but not know how to really do for bridal, and that would be something that you would be able to take.
And you said they don't, so they wouldn't have to take your very basic airbrush class to do bridal, is that what you mean?
No, they don't. You don't have to take the basic. You can just jump right in. As long as it's when it's offered, if you are one of the first people to you know, sign up for it, then, yeah, it's available, you know. And
we can go right
into it. You don't have to do the basics. We could just jump right into bridal. We could jump right into the advanced. I would recommend that they have some kind of prior knowledge so that we can kind of just skip the basics and go right into the meat and potatoes, you know, right into the advanced right away. But, you know, again, I would recommend having some experience prior.
Gotcha. And are your classes limited to a certain number of students or?
I mean, honestly, I have about five. It's a smaller studio. I mean, it's not really big. It may look big on in pictures and stuff, but it's actually really not. It's actually meant to be really homey and cozy. It's meant to be more one-on-one with you and your clients. So as far as like a big workshop, it's not huge. We can definitely seat about 8 comfortably, you know, 8 to 10 comfortably. I mean, that would be a little tight, but yeah, we could do about 8 people, comfortable 10, kind of pushing it just a little bit, but yeah, it can totally be done.
Cool. Yeah. And they can, if anyone wants to know about your classes when they're offered, is there anything on your website or how do you
find out? I mean, I can definitely give you the plug-in. I mean, we're actually working on the studio website right now as we speak.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can either contact me at orlando@anayaskin.com or I can give you the general number is 866-ANAYA-SKIN. And that's the that's basically the studio number, 866-ANAYA-SKIN, right? And
okay.
You just call that number, and you will be able to just, you know, contact one of us directly, and we can go from there.
Cool. Sounds good. Are there any questions from the chat room?
Well, let's see. We have Technicolor. She's going to call in and ask a question, but I think she's afraid to, maybe. Or maybe she hasn't thought of a question yet.
Okay, well, I have someone from the 347 area code who wants to speak. So, hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Orlando. I'm wondering if you'll come out to Florida and give a demo at my school.
Where is this? Sorry?
But I'm wondering if you'll come out to my school and give a demo in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Definitely. You just got to let me know.
What's your name, caller?
Oh, he knows. Charlene.
Oh, Charlene.
Ah, Charlene. I do know Charlene.
I just happened to log on, and I saw it, and I'm just listening to you and just taking up a lot of information on what you're saying, and I have to agree with when you spoke about the Euro changes and how they're more edgy and some of them are more sculpted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's like it's so true. I just recently did a shoot, and pretty much the look that they wanted was that sculpted look. But as you said, in the Euro version, that's how it's coming off. But over with a New Yorker doing it, it was more of an edgier thing to me, which made me think about you. And, like, you just hit it on the head with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's totally my experience with how I see things, you know, my perception as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm. definitely. I definitely would like to catch you at the LA show, but I do have a question for you with regards to the airbrush that you were mentioning with regards to the cat. You started us with Temptu. What is the difference, because I think I missed a little bit of that, between the Temptu and the Ket?
Well, Ket doesn't have, oh, I mean, okay, so let's start back at Temptu. Temptu is obviously known for their SB formulation, which is silicone-based. It's very popular. I mean, it's been around for a while, and I think they've taken it and kind of refined it and mastered it, basically, you know, to the point where it's you know, it's an amazing product by itself. And they're known for that. They're known for their silicone-based products, as opposed to Ket and OCC. So Temptu is known for the SB formulation, the silicone-based, but Ket and OCC are known for their high pigmentation in for being water-based colors. Well, water slash glycerin-based for Ket, and I guess just more like water-based for OCC, if I'm not mistaken, David, don't kill me. But I mean, they're known for being really potent for being just water-based. And the formulation is right because it's, even though it's water-based, I wouldn't say that it necessarily runs off with humidity. It has a really long-lasting staying power, as I guess, in my opinion, as a silicone-based would too, you know? I don't know how they've done it. And also, David has his new clear from OCC. It's clear. It's just like I think they've done away with their alcohol-based formulas now, where they have this clear solution now that you can just kind of overspray as a setting solution that you can just pop in your airbrush machine and just kind of seal your makeup. And I heard it's supposed to be, I mean, I've used it before, but I've never used it on a job. But it's like super rave reviews from everybody, which is great, because then that's what I'm talking about, like all that kind of like, you know, ingenuity, you know what I mean? And that creativity is stuff that just makes us as an artist, our job so much more easier. And that's what, you know, that's what I like about them.
Well, that, like I said, information I need to absorb. So I just wanted to
Sure, let me ask you, what school do you have in Florida?
I transferred from New York City. That's where I met Orlando. I'm a hair colorist. I've always done makeup work, have an obsession with it, and I'm looking to get more involved into it. So I am currently at the Hollywood Institute, located in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's a pivot point school, which is more of a European approach. So now I'm taking it on a different level. What I'm doing now is more international. But I'm introducing makeup to the school, and that's why I asked you, Orlando, because that's just not something that's really big out there, to be honest with you. You only see the makeup getting really big, especially in the area where I'm at. In Miami, it's more of a thing because a lot of the shows are going on out there. But Fort Myers, Fort Lauderdale has really no concept as to what the makeup world is all about. And I think it's pretty sad because a lot of them are very interested in it. And when you see how they're applying it or how they're teaching it, it just doesn't deserve this to what we do, in a way, because they're just not introduced to it and the classes are not there, they're not available to them, or they don't know where to look for them.
Right. Well, you hear that, Orlando?
Mm-hmm.
Pack up those compressors and get down there.
That's right.
Yeah, I need you to come down there with me because I keep talking about you, so you need to come up and show them what you got.
Yeah, definitely. And especially down there, you're going to need a lot of, you know, resistant makeup. You know, like humidity-proof makeup. So that would be a whole other technique, you know what I mean? And using the right products to make sure it stays under humidity and so on and so forth. So, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to it.
So, well, I'm going to let you get back to what you're doing there, and I'm going to keep taking notes. So go ahead. It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you, Shelly.
Thank you,
too. Shelly. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, Orlando, rumor has it that you may be doing a class for Elevate Artists this year. Is that true?
For Evolution?
Elevate Artists.
Elevate Artists?
In D.C.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. She did say rumor has it.
Elevate Artists in D.C.? I don't know. Really? I had no idea.
Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. That's why I'm like, huh? I thought you were talking about Evolution, which is another thing which I think is amazing, but you talk first, and I'll tell you about Evolution after. I'm like, I'm interested. I want to know.
You're interested? Huh, okay. Well, maybe someone from Elevate Artists can call in and ask you personally.
You said it's in D.C. I didn't know about it.
Yeah,
no, I didn't know. I have no idea.
Kathy Aragon said that.
That would make sense. Yes, okay, great. Okay, yeah, of course. Anything for Kat, yes, definitely.
See? There we go.
That's right, definitely.
But tell us about Evolution.
Evolution. Well, Evolution is part of the Powder Group, formed by Michael DeVellis, which I think is an amazing part of makeup, just in general. I mean, it has a lot to do with makeup, but it has a lot to do with more of your individuality, and I think it's such an amazing thing. It's basically kind of like I wouldn't call it a beauty boot camp, but I would call it more of like a retreat for your soul, for a makeup artist. It's done in Provincetown, Massachusetts, on the Cape, and it's just a way of people getting to kind of be in tune with themselves. It's about 5 days. It's like a Monday through Friday. It's a week. You have your own room. You have your own. Actually, Kathy Aragon has gone. We've gone together. We did it last year together, and it's about a group of 20 people at most, and. You basically go, but you're in tune with yourself as an artist. You kind of help put goals in perspective for the year. You as an artist, what means most to you? It helps you to goal set. Where do you see yourself going? Where do you see yourself heading? What's priority in your life? What shouldn't be? But it's also a breakthrough in terms of creativity. So you don't have to really be experienced to do it. You can be a novice. You can be experienced. You can be in between. So it's just about creativity in general as an artist, but also the exercises that they do there are so intense and amazing. Like, they really push your parameters and push your boundaries and force you to think outside the box with a lot of different techniques. Even for, seasoned makeup artists, I would consider myself one. And I was doing exercises there that were just amazingly not difficult, but just challenging. Like, it was really good. It forced me to see things from another perspective when it came to, like, lighting and texture and color. So it was really, really good. But also put things in perspective. I left out really, like, new sets of goals for myself for this upcoming year. No telephones, no TV. You just have a beautiful landscape of, the Cape. And it's amazing. It's just an amazing time to bond with the people. So I'm hoping that this year I can go again and be a part of it. So it was really good.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about some of the exercises, or would that be giving it away?
Unfortunately, I can't. But I will tell you this. They are amazing. It's a full day. I mean, full day every day. And the good thing is that we have a lot of bonding time, and you get to meet with a lot of people from across the nation. And actually, some people are international. There are a lot of people from Canada there as well. And they'd kill me. But
all right.
I could tell you that it's definitely something. Like, it's kind of like I was left in the dark too, and that's why I was like, I would do the same. I was asking, so what about it? Did you like? And
yeah.
It was almost like this weird hush, and nobody would talk about it. They're just like, wow, you just have to experience it for yourself. So
right.
Now that I've done it, I would totally recommend it, hands down, to everybody. And, it's just an amazing time. It will change your life.
And this year, it's taking place when this year?
It is in April. It is in April. Hold on, let me see. I think it's in April. I want to say towards the beginning of April.
I know it's always before the makeup show New York.
Yes, it is. It is. It's always before the makeup show in New York. So I would say, let's see. Yeah, I don't know the exact date, but if you want to just go, I would say just go to thepowdergroup.com and click on where it says Evolution, and it'll kind of give you a lot of insight as far as what goes on and so on and so forth.
Oh, Very, very good. Quickly, I wanted to ask you a question about agency representation.
Agency representation, sure.
Do you think it's, you know, because a lot of artists out here, you know, they see when people are represented by agents, they see if people are in the union for hair and makeup, and they, I think a lot of them feel like they have to have an agent and they have to be in the union. And it's really about focusing on what part of the industry you want to be a part of. You know, if your interest is really like film and television, like my sister and I, then I would suggest, you know, trying to get into the union. You know, if you do a lot in fashion, you know,
right,
print and things like that, then maybe agency representation may be for you. And
right,
then again, some people feel like, no, I can get a lot of work without it. How important do you think it is?
Yeah, again, it depends. I mean, the good thing about makeup is that we have so many avenues. We have beauty, fashion, film, television, special effects. There's quite a bit right there, just that alone. And some of them may require you, I mean, in order for, you know, depends on how much work, but some of it may be unionized and some of it you don't necessarily need a union for that. Agency representation will do just fine. And I think it's just, first of all, identifying where you want to go and what part of the industry you like, what makes you feel comfortable, what do you enjoy, so on and so forth, so that when you are determined to go down that particular path, then you know, okay, in order to continue to be successful, do I need to either look for myself or do I need an agency to kind of rep me with a strong book? You should know, you know, not only should you want to know which avenue you want to go down, but you should also know, like, who do you look up to that's already successful? Not to say you should mirror your career behind that person, but it helps to know what they've done to get to where they were. So if it's been, like, you know, a union or it's been an agent or something that has taken them, then you know obviously an agency was required and or probably the best thing. So you should maybe work on the next step is building a really strong book to then look for representation. Or, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So
yes,
it's knowing where you want to go, also looking at who has been there before you and who has, you know, been successful and have they done it with an agency or without. Or, you know, film, you know, or a lot of things where when it comes to film and television, a lot of that is unionized, and you may have to go into the union. If not, you'll be doing a lot of independent stuff, which is okay too. But I mean, again,
right,
you want to get the solid jobs. You want to know about all these things before they come out, and the union
right,
has access to that, you know.
Right, right.
And there's a lot of steps that you can be on without being unionized, and a lot of other technicalities too.
Absolutely.
And just while it's on my mind, I just want people to know really quickly that the union is not like an agency where it finds you jobs. That's
no,
not
it's
what
not.
The union is all about. They represent you on your job. So if
exactly,
something happens, you know, they make sure that everything goes by that contract. So I just had to put that out there.
And let me say this really quickly, too, while we're on that, because we had a lot of questions in the chat room. This whole union conference call that I came up with came out of last week's show and the discussion that we were having in the chat room. And so I'm taking six makeup artists on a conference call, and we're going to spend about an hour, and we're going to I'm just going to answer all of your questions that you have about, you know, how to get into the union. And I'll give you some information before we get into the questions as well. But The first call is full. I have the six makeup artists. And so now I'm just taking names for the next call. I haven't decided exactly when we're going to do the call, but the first one's going to happen soon, I would say within a week. So I'm going to email everyone to find out, you know, what days are good for them. But I am taking names for the next six makeup artists for the next conference call. So whatever questions you may have about unions and you know, things like that, I'm going to take care of answering all of that on that conference call. So, again, if you want to send me your name and your phone number and email, you can send it to illusionsbeauty@gmail.com.
And, Orlando, we have a few minutes left. Let me ask
mm-hmm.
you, what are some of the differences that you've noticed about the beauty business since first starting almost 13 years ago?
Wow. I mean, there's I would say there's some good and some not so good.
Right.
I would say the good. I would say the good would be there's a lot more education that's prevalent now. I think there's a lot of education, whether it's trade shows like makeup shows, or not a lot of schools are popping up. You know, both East Coast, West Coast. You know, so there's a lot of education now if that's what you're seeking. And, you know, as opposed to, like, I guess even when I started or before that, there weren't too many schools out there. There weren't too many shows dedicated towards makeup artists. It was kind of like the assistant route was the best way to go. You know, you just tried to assist somebody really recognized or known to get your education, and hopefully you spun off and became something of yourself. Or, you know, you work for, like, a cosmetic company and kind of worked your way up that rank, which was, you know, another way. But so there's a lot of education now available, so you don't have to do those things that were done back then. You can just actually go straight to a school, learn, or go to a trade show and continue to seek more workshops and education to build your knowledge, which is great, you know. But I would also say on the other side of the coin, I would say I think the expectations of the business are different now. You know, a lot of old school, I would call us old school makeup artists, but a lot of old school because we learned differently. And we had to fight tooth and nail. We kind of were sponges and absorbed a lot of things from a lot of artists, you know, as we shadowed and
right.
worked with them. We took education very seriously, you know. It was like a privilege to assist somebody who was like a top name or whatever. So we fought for that position to get that education. Now, because it's so prevalent, so available, it's kind of like you graduate from your program and all of a sudden you expect the world to come at your knees, you know, and it's like it doesn't really work that way. There's still dues that have to be paid. There's still assisting that needs to be done. You know what I mean? I think the definition of success has also changed too. I think a lot of people mirror or kind of use their success according to somebody else who they look up to who was successful. Does that make sense? And I think it's not the same. You don't have to model your definition of your success, you know, according to, like, the Billy Bees and Sharon Golds and the Sam Fines. I think they're amazing and they're inspirational, and they're actually my mentors as well. You know, and I look up to them and I read a lot of the stuff they have. But I don't define myself as successful because of the fact that I was able to make or do the same face or do the same exact style or do the same, you know, type of situation or artist that they've done. I consider my success totally different from that. You know, success to me means more personal than it is what's out there for everybody to see what I've done. Does that make sense? So I think it's a whole different dynamic and definition of success, and also expectations that are kind of like a little skewed nowadays. I've seen that, and, you know, I do educate a lot, and I hear it. I hear it all the time. You know, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to assist anymore. I'm kind of ready for my big break. And I'm like, how long have you been doing makeup, sweetie? And they're like, well, about 9 months. And I'm like, wow.
Right.
Wow. Okay, well, then you're ready. And I'm like, 9 months? I was like, yeah, you know what? Your brushes are still wet, you know, so.
Right.
You need to dry them off a little bit.
And you started Orlando right about around 98, maybe?
Yeah, 98, 99, yeah, around that time was when
same
I started.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a little more old school, and, you know, it was around the assisting and the you know, you had to. You were fortunate enough to assist certain people, and you stuck with it, and you took whatever came your way no matter what because you always, you know, you saw the bigger picture. So
it was almost the only way to get in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was tough. It was tough. You know, there were a lot of really good artists then, too. So it's like a competition to try to get in. And, you know, again, I remember when, again, Mac was one of my, you know, everybody kind of looked up to, like, ooh, and Mac was like it. And it was, you know, it really was. And I remember, you know, trying three times to get in before I got in, you know, three times. And I was devastated, but I kept going back, you know, each time. And finally the third time is when I got in, and I was super excited. But now I realized who I was going up against. I didn't know then, but I met two of the other artists who I was going up against who I, like, you know, lost my position to. And they were phenomenal artists, so I got it. I understood. And I was like, wow, okay, great. You know, and that was the thing. I think a lot of that has changed. Now I think a lot of the cosmetic lines are more gimmicky and more like, you know, GWP, gift for purchase, to cheapen a lot of the products. And that's kind of the reason why I go with, like, I stick with my core lines, you know, that the lines that are true, and no matter what's gimmicky out there, they don't buy into that. They just go for what artists need. So.
Exactly. Now, we have, like, 2 seconds left, but we want to ask you what beauty means to you.
Beauty means to me, I would have to say, what makes you feel good inside. What, anything beautiful. I mean, beauty can be a canvas on a face, or it can be just something you look at that inspires you to create art. I think whatever gives you that warmth inside of you, that's what beauty is. It talks to you from within, and you can't live without it.
Absolutely. And with that being said, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really enjoyed this conversation. It was over before you knew it, but I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Taking time to share information with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank
and you so just in case you didn't know, in about like maybe 10, 15 minutes, you'll be able to go out to the site here on Blog Talk Radio and hear the interview. So feel free to share it. Email it, whatever you want to do with it, feel free to do so.
And also, just to let you know, we may call you back in a couple of months for a part two of this conversation.
Yeah, great. A lot's going to happen in 2 months. It'll be post-fashion week and post-makeup show in L.A. and all that stuff, so I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Cool. So we'll bring you back. We'll definitely be in touch. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.
All right,
good night.
Bye.
Good night. And just to remind everybody out there, if you really like the show, go out and rate it a favorite, mark it a favorite, leave your comments on the profile page, and send any questions or comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com or illusionsbeauty@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to share any information that you share with us, or if you have questions, things that you would like to hear on future shows, people that you would like to hear, let us know your ideas and your thoughts. Thank you so much for joining us for our very first show of 2011. And like my sister said earlier on, if you missed it, our next show next week will be on Tuesday and not Thursday. So listen out for that. Tuesday at 9 p.m. is our next show. So that's only a couple of days. So stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook for updates. Talk to you guys later. Good night.
Good night.